There's so many things going on right now in the world. Matthew 24 is being fulfilled. The prophetic prophecies, the birth pangs, the dismantle of the harlot, the harlot of Babylon. Amen. And again, you dismantle the harlot of Babylon by taking her currency. There are so many lies and deceptions, and the media is constantly upholding its true Baal prophets and speaking lies and truth and not truth. The world has been taken captive in deception, and only knows where the veils have been removed. Understand the truth. We become seekers of truth, lovers of truth, and carriers of truth. Truth sets you free if you practice it, not if you know it. There's a lot of people that know the truth. There's a lot of people I ask, you know, tell me they're Christians. It doesn't mean they're free. Amen? Doesn't mean they're going to heaven either. Who you serve when you die is where you go. And the doctrines of once saved, always saved is not a doctrine of dead. It's a doctrine of deception. You know, in the world, when things are going crazy and somebody commits a crime or something or whatever, what they have the saying of follow the money. Right? Well, in the physical realm, you can follow the money and usually find out what's going on. Amen. You follow Biden, you're going to find out what's going on. You follow all those that are stealers and counterfeiters and so forth, and criminals and drug smugglers. You follow the money and you find out exactly what's happening. If you follow the blood, you'll also find out what's happening. The blood. The blood of Christ, you follow the blood according to biblical standards of time. When you follow the blood, you always fall into truth, no matter what. In Leviticus 17, in verse 10 through 12, and whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood. In other words, who drinks blood, you know. The demonic, satanic forces drink blood, don't they? Amen? And will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Say it with me. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Wow. The life of the flesh is in the body. Amen? So your blood, I mean, it's in the blood. So your blood is carrying life to sustain in this realm, in this reality. The body. The blood in the body sustains you. If you cut yourself and you bleed to death, that's where the word bleed to death comes from, because the blood is drained from you. People commit suicide by draining themselves from the blood. Amen? Think about it. Everything is associated with the blood. When you go to a doctor, they take a blood test, and what they're looking for is something to come down your family line. They ask you questions. Is there diabetes? Is there heart disease? Is there addiction? Amen? So they only know by the blood. They don't know what's connected to it, though, like demons and so forth, curses. They never ask you, is there a curse in your bloodline? You know, they wouldn't know that. That's why it's important. And even in the Old Testament, they used to repent for the sins of the forefathers, because it would cycle every third or fourth generation. And then it goes on to the children. Those are called iniquities. Curse on the family line. Revelation 12:7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they were able to deny themselves. The blood not only carries life for the flesh in the physical, but is attached to the power of God, the words of God, the timing of God, and the purpose of God in this reality. Because there is another reality. The Bible says that we were born again, not of this world, not of this reality. I'll say it again. The blood not only is a carrier of life for the flesh or your physical body, but is attached to the power of God, the words of God, the timing of God, and the purpose of God in this reality. And also paves the pathways of God by cleansing the way before him. That's why the blood always goes before the spirit. That's why repentance activates the blood. Amen? Then it allows the spirit to have access. The blood goes before the spirit, which brings life, physically and spiritually. Amen? And Genesis chapter 6. When the fallen angels came and put flesh on him, came into this realm, took wives of themselves and produced offsprings. And in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be what? 120 years. Make sure you write this down, 120 years, because we're going to talk about some of this. 120 years for human days. Now you got to understand how prophetically he speaks about this. Now, there's three 40s in 120. Amen? God speaks in numbers also. In fact, all Hebrew language is associated with a number. 40s is the time of recycle things. 40 is the number of testing, trials, judgments, transformation, growth, and brings a new life. 40 is the number of testing, trials, judgments, transformations, and growth, a new life. Remember when Noah was told to go in the ark, how many days did it rain? 40. What did it bring? New life. Moses was with the Lord and recorded the covenant of commandments for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was tempted 40 days. Amen? 40 days, Jesus presented himself to the disciples, speaking of the kingdom of God after his resurrection. There's so many things about 40. I'm just sharing some of these things because I want you to keep these things in memory. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because it is in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. So we know that he created 6 days and rested seven. Amen? 6 days God restored the earth. He restored it. And then he rested on the seventh day. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets in the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own what? Their own lusts. Saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slacking concerning his promises, some count slacking, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that they should perish, but they should all come to repentance. Now, you got to understand, this is a prophetic speaking. One day with the Lord is equal to what? 1,000 years. Amen? So, think about this for a moment. One day is 1,000 years. It says that he built, or actually restored, amen, the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day he rested. But one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. Amen. So we're talking a total of 7,000 years completing from the time that he restored the earth in that beginning. So one day is equal to 1,000 years, total of 7,000 years. Amen. Now, how many feasts are there? Seven. So all of these feasts will be fulfilled also. So every feast must be fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the first three feasts. Amen. The fourth one came with the release of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of his Spirit. Amen. We have three left, don't we? There's three feasts left that must be fulfilled, and only Jesus can fulfill them. The next one is called the Feast of Trumpets, which is the removal of the church from the earth, the removal of the bride. Not everyone in the church is ready. The bride of Christ will be removed from the earth. Then the Feast of Atonement will come. That will be the judgments of God. And then the Lord will return with his saints and will establish the Feast of Tabernacle for 1,000 years. So the next feast is the Feast of Trumpets, which is the removal of the bride. Because God wants us to know what time and season we're in, where we are. You know, some people just, they still don't believe that things are happening. They don't believe that Jesus, I mean, Jesus isn't going to return right today or tomorrow. He's going to come first through the body of Christ before he comes at all. Amen. So there's got to be a great harvest, salvation to many people. There's got to be a turning over of the tables and a kicking out of the powers of darkness, out of all these offices and political situations and all seats and positions of authority. God is going to have his end time Joseph ministry to rescue many people before we get out of here. But in that period of time, you're going to see a process of chaos and blessing run parallel. Because those who are caught in the chaos are going to run to those who are blessed. Amen? That's going to create the largest harvest. So God is preparing his people. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Amen. In Mark 9, in verse 2. Now after 6 days, what's one day with the Lord? Okay, now remember, this is a prophetic event. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart from themselves, and he was transfigured before them. After how many days? And what, one day with the Lord is equal to what? 1,000 years. After 6,000 years, she's talking prophetically now. Amen? Remember, the Word of God is three-dimensional, past, present, and future. And only through the Spirit of God will you interpret what He's telling you. You can't interpret with your carnal mind. His clothes became shiny and exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. I guess Tide couldn't compete. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Who appeared? Elijah and Moses. Now, remember, Moses represents those who have fallen asleep in the body that will be resurrected, and Elijah represents those who are alive who will be taken all at the time that Jesus calls them home. Of course, then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. They were freaking out, man. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." He didn't say listen, did he? Suddenly, when they had looked up around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should not tell no one the things which they had seen till the Son of Man had been risen from the dead. Again, after 6 days, after 6,000 years, Jesus talks about the transfiguration of the glorified body. Everybody get it? Before we go any further, I want to bring something to you that... Now, nobody knows the day and time exactly. Amen? In fact, the Jewish calendar and our calendar could be off 10 years. Who knows? Amen? So, but we can tell by the signs of the time of what's going on. We know that prophecy is being fulfilled. Even the heathens know it. When I go to the gym, there's people who come up and talk and whatever, and you know, and we'll start, "Hey, what do you think about what's going on in the world?" "Oh, man, it's biblically fulfillment." Yeah? And they might not even know Jesus, but they know it's some kind of a biblical event that's going on. So, you know, praise God. But it gives you an opportunity to witness to them. Amen? And share the truth. So, again, we know that there's a total of 7,000 years. And from the day that God began to restore the earth, 6,000 years from that day... All right, now, again, I'm not telling you this is perfect. It's 2030. Think about it, 2030, 6,000 years. Now, in this 6,000 years, we will have um, 120 jubilees. Everybody with me? And the Lord said that man will live how many days? 120. Amen? In other words, that's the existence. 6 days is equal to 6,000 years. It's also equal to 120 jubilees, which is every 50 years. Which comes up to 2030. Who knows what the time is, but we know we're close. Amen? Remember, God is getting ready to pour out, and I know many people in ministries and so forth, and God is really establishing the Joseph ministry. And in the Joseph ministry, the word says it to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of what? Famine. But I really believe that these are not going to be one after the other, that they're going to run parallel. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians 15. Is everybody with me? And verse 50. There's no coincidences at verse 50. I'm going to tell you. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. That mystery is, who knows exactly when? Only God. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, be dead in Christ. They call it sleep, because you're really not dead, you're alive. But we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. What's he talking about? The Feast of Trumpets. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The dead will be raised first. That's what was associated with Moses. And they're going to get a glorified body, because that's the final process of redemption. It's a new body. Amen? For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on immortality, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Again, 50 being associated with a jubilee. Now, it said that they were changed in their glorified body. Remember, the days of man was 120, the total mortal to immortality in this reality. Amen? Leviticus 25 and starting at verse 8. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. That's 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7th Sabbath of 7 years shall be you for 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the day of what? Atonement. That's associated with the blood. Amen? And you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap, which grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crops, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the fewer number of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of years of the crops. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. Again, 7 Sabbaths of years. 7 meaning complete, doesn't it? It's complete and perfect. It's the number of God. He says, after the 49th year, in the year of Jubilee, shall the trumpet shall blow, and the Day of Atonement, representing the blood cleansing. It's a Feast of Trumpets, which follows the Feast of, it's a Feast of Atonement, which follows the Feast of Trumpets. The 50th year, remember, the 50th year. Now think about this for a minute. So it's going to bring freedom, restoration, vindication, provision, favor, and the greatest harvest ever. Because we're in it. It's processing. Hebrews 12:22. The Bible says Jesus came by blood and water. And not only blood and water, but by the Spirit, which brings witness. You know, everybody knows that something is about to happen. Everybody. Even the wicked know something's about to happen. They're in trouble. verse 22. But you have come to the mountain of Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than of Abel. So Abel's blood spoke, didn't it? See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. For now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of these things that are being shaken, and of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's why there's a lot of shaking and a quake, and it's a falling away. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Again, here is the blood of covenant, atonement. It's the blood of existence. Without his blood, we can't exist. Amen? It is the pathway of life. It's attached to God's timing, purpose, and according to his will. Now, remember this, that the Father acknowledges the blood. He acknowledges it by repentance, and he acknowledges it by because of the ministry of the Spirit, which is the ministry of breath. When you apply the blood of Jesus on something, as long as you're in right standing with God, but you applying the blood of Jesus, if you're walking in sin, it ain't going to work. Nothing's going to work. I have many testimonies, and many people have testimonies about applying the blood of Jesus on their home during storms and hurricanes, driving, even myself. We could have been killed, but the blood of Christ was on us. In fact, the angel that was protecting us held me back where I was paralyzed. We're at a four-way stop late one night in a country road. We didn't see nothing. Nothing. I had my foot on the clutch. I was driving a Honda, and I could not move. I was paralyzed. And my wife turned to me and looked at me and said, why aren't you moving? And I was going to say, why aren't I moving? But I couldn't say it. Because I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. But she said it. And next thing I know, this vehicle ran through the stop sign about 50, 60 miles an hour. Whew, truck. And if I would have let go of that clutch, we'd have been killed. But again, started praising God. And we thanked him for the blood. The blood protects you. I'm telling you, it protects me when I'm driving. Matthew 27:50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. No, these were individuals who were doing Jesus' ministry. Not before, but during his ministry. That had perished. That had, what we call, died, but they're actually, Jesus calls them asleep. And they came out of their graves after his resurrection. Oh, snap. That must have freaked a lot of people out. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Wow. Again, verse 50, amen. It was known as the Feast of Passover. Now, that counted another, from that point, which was 30 A.D. 40 years after 30 A.D., the temple was destroyed. Which brings it to 70 A.D. Amen? Now, here's something, wow. 2,000 years from that point is what? 2030. Because we are There's 40 jubilees in 2,000 years. So there's got to be 40 jubilees left to fulfill. So there's 40 jubilees left to be fulfilled, which will be complete by 2030. It'll be 2,000 years. It'll be actually the time of 6,000 years. Is everybody okay? That's if our calendars are perfectly correct. But who knows? And can God change his mind? Amen. Again, this is not a direct saying this is what's going to happen. It's an awakening. It's a preparation. This is not something that, you know, I don't proclaim that things are going to happen, but things are close to happen. Amen. You can't deny that. But just think about it. If you knew that there were 7 years left, how would you change your life? If you knew there was 3.5 years left, how would you change your life? If you knew you had 1 week left, how would you change your life? But see, that's how we're to live. Does everybody understand that? Remember, tomorrow's not promised. That's why we live from the future to the present, not from the present to the future. We live from the future to the present, so we have nothing to be concerned about. We're already living in the future. We live from the future. That's why we live from his promises. That allows you to live from the future to the present. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's why repentance must activate the blood. Again, when you begin to think about everything about the blood, well, the blood that was shed on Calvary, Jesus rose, died, rose again from that day, 3 days later, in the 30th AD. That's a time point. This is where, in other words, the blood is associated with time also. I'm hearing all kinds of things. People prophesying 2060, 2090, 20. I don't want to live that much longer, man. I want to go home. But I want to go home alive. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remind that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought by, near by the what? The blood of Christ. Brought near by through the blood of Christ. At his specific time. Remember, 120 jubilees is 6 days or 6,000 years. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we're going to close here. Verse 24. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge, and joy to a man who is good in his sight. Now listen. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give it to him who is good before God. Gathering and collecting what? Wealth. This also is vanity and is grasping for the wind. That's why the Bible tells us that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. There's going to be a money transfer here momentarily, shortly. God wants us to be ready. Amen? Remember, the U.S. currency is going to diminish tremendously. That's Babylon money, that's why. They're taking down Babylon. And the power of Babylon is its currency. So we will see it diminish. It's rapidly diminishing right now. They've already printed all new money. There'll be global money. Every country will have its own certain signia of their money, but the value will be all the same through the world. So there'll be values of currencies that will go up and some that will go down. U.S. currency will go down because it'll be diminished. The BRICS nations, which are associated with all, they have no longer using U.S. currency for trade. Even the Arabs and the oil countries are no longer using U.S. currency. And people must awaken to this right now, because there could be an all of a sudden thing. And all of a sudden they'll find, everybody has seen that some of the banks are closing. I get reports of people trying to get cash out of their banks and they can't do it. All kinds of things are happening. So God wants us to be prepared. The money is gold and silver. Amen? That's God's money, gold and silver. Tangibilities is the most important thing that you purchase now. Tangibilities, get things that are tangible so that you have some kind of value, whether it's to trade or barter or whatever. Amen? Because currency is about to collapse. And God's children must know this and awaken to it. Amen? This is not a religious move. This is a sting operation from God Almighty to bring down the powers of darkness. And we've been chosen to be a part of it at this time. It's an amazing thing. Amazing. So, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word of promise as we follow you all the way home in the blood of sacrifice for each and every one of us that paid the price that we could have access to all things. So have mercy upon us and let your grace abound abundantly and grant us the wisdom, discernment, and understanding that we may follow and understand today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.